Well, welcome again to Only Baptist Church, where we are gathering together via our website to celebrate the goodness of God. Whether you are regular members of our fellowship or are just passing through, we pray that you will meet with the risen Lord Jesus today and that you will be greatly blessed. My name is Martin Glass, and I'm one of the elders here. Today is Sunday the 30th of August, which means that we haven't met together physically as a church now for 6 months, nor do we know as yet when we will be returning to that situation. Today, we will be concluding our short series on the psalmist's view of living with God by looking at Psalm 103. Next week, we'll be starting a new series in Acts of the Apostles called To the Ends of the World, or To the Ends of the Earth. And we'll be joining Paul on his 3 missionary journeys. So let's start with our call to worship this morning, which is taken from Psalm 32 and quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 4. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. Shall we pray? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you this morning for this opportunity to meet together again. We want to thank you at the outset for that love that you've shown us and the forgiveness you have granted to us. We thank you for your incomparable creation, which speaks volumes about your greatness and majesty, your love and your concern, your tender mercies and your awareness of our weaknesses and frailty. We thank you for your amazing rescue plan, which involved sending your Son to our world to demonstrate how to live for you and to reveal to us exactly what you are like. We thank you that Jesus was willing to suffer on the cross in our place so that our problem with sin could be dealt with once and for all. And we thank you for adopting us into your family and for your daily display of protection, encouragement and renewal carried out by your indwelling Holy Spirit. Father, what a transformation you have carried out in our lives. Whatever we are facing currently, the anxieties of this pandemic, bereavement, illness, work or financial difficulties, the lack of physical fellowship and worship, the vista of worldwide conflicts, social upheavals and natural disasters, we know from your word that you are in control of all things, for you know the end from the beginning. And you are the omnipotent one, seated in the heavens, ruling over all things and bringing everything together for our Saviour's glorious return. Give us, we pray, the faith to grasp these truths and the hope to believe in an eternity spent with you. So bless our meeting together now, we pray, in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's time now for our first hymn, number 466 in Songs of Fellowship, or the words on the news sheet. This well-known song, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, is based on Psalm 103 and was written by Henry Francis Lyte. He was an Irishman born in 1793, and he became a clergyman serving God in England, Cornwall, Lymington, and Brixham, where his official title, one I've never heard of before, was Perpetual Curate, and there he died in 1847. His other really famous hymn is Abide With Me, although he wrote many others as well. So let's sing with the musicians, or just listen as we do that song, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, to His
Of intercession. We'll be concentrating this morning on the work of Barnabas Fund and continuing problems at home and abroad. So let's pray. Our loving Father, we bring to you this morning our nation, which needs so much your loving touch. We pray for wisdom for our leaders at this time of uncertainty and decision making. Help them to weigh up the advice given from so many people and to choose the most appropriate course of action in each case. We pray that the return to school will take place safely, that the children and staff will feel secure, protected, that the virus will not spread and cause new spikes, that the children will be able to continue their education without any more interruption. We pray too for those going on to further education after all the worries and upset with results. Prepare them, we pray, for a rather different beginning to courses to what they may have been expecting. Help them to settle in, to make new friends, and to adapt to the new way of doing things. We pray for our National Health Service. We thank you for the staff's dedication and selflessness during the start of the crisis, and pray that you will give them the energy and ability to make decisions as life in hospitals, surgeries, and care homes continues. For those worried about finances and employment, we pray that you will help them to cope, and that you will help us all to keep our eyes open so that we may be able to help where a need arises. We thank you also for the technology which has helped us as individuals and as a fellowship to carry on during the pandemic. And we pray that you will bring us together again physically before too long. We also look further afield, Heavenly Father, and see around us people suffering, not only from the pandemic, but from all kinds of other problems, natural disasters, hurricanes, locust swarms, earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, civil wars, terrorism and local violence, persecution, intolerance, false imprisonment, political corruption, gang warfare, disregard for the poor and downtrodden. Father, we often don't know how to pray for these situations. All we can do is to plead with you that you will intervene and inspire people to play a role in alleviating these horrors. We pray in particular for Christian organizations that are deeply involved and seeking to make a difference. We pray for Tear Fund, Open Doors, Mercy Ships, and other similar aid agencies. We especially thank you today for the work of Barnabas Fund in many countries, for the food, sleeping, and roofing materials supplied in Nigeria to those who have survived Fulani attacks, for the farming training and bicycles supplied to pastors in remote areas of Sierra Leone, for the aid provided for Christians in Albania following the November earthquake, for the help afforded to Christian Pakistani refugees in Thailand, for the jointly funded leadership course for young Christians in Kyrgyzstan. We thank you for all those who are working for or with these organizations and are making a real difference to those in need. We pray that people will respond to you as they see your followers displaying your love and care. Finally, we pray for our witness to those around us here in Oni. Help us to extend your mercy and grace to our families, friends, and colleagues. Keep us alert so that we may not miss opportunities of speaking about your transforming love. Keep us close to you at this difficult time, and help us to show what a difference it makes being your sons and daughters. All these things we pray in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, before our reading and talk, let's join together in singing or listening to our next song. It's number 1191 in Songs of Fellowship, or on the new sheet, Beloved and Blessed, a Stuart Townend song, which talks of the new relationship we have with our Father God, secured for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, song number 1191, Beloved and Blessed.
Lord,
So it's time now for our reading, which is Psalm 103, a Psalm of David. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all those who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He doesn't punish us for all our sins. He doesn't deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him, it is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we're gone, as though we'd never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and from there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Amen. So, we come today to the last contribution to our short series on the psalmist's view of life with God. I wonder how many of you have profited from some sort of government benefits over the years. Some, I'm sure. Child benefits, or child tax credit, as it's now known, for example, or perhaps housing benefit. With this current pandemic, we have a host of new tailor-made benefits designed to help people cope with the new set of circumstances we're facing. There's job seekers allowance, mortgage interest run-on, reduced earnings allowance, furlough, and so on. And in this respect, our government has really made a difference for many people who would otherwise be in an incredibly difficult position. And I'm sure that those in receipt of these benefits are highly grateful for this help. If nothing else, our time of lockdown and the new normal, whatever that is, are perhaps causing us to take stock of all the benefits we've received in this country when so many people struggle with everyday life in other parts of the world. But what about God? Have we thought at all about the benefits we have received from him? Have you, or have I, counted our blessings from him and named them one by one? It's just that that inspired David to write Psalm 103, referred to by one commentator as the Mount Everest of praise palms, of praise psalms, I should say. It's both an intensely personal psalm, but also one that encourages the whole community to join in and take stock of what God has done for them. The starting point of David's psalm is a reminder to himself never to forget all the benefits that he's received at God's hand. That's verse 2. It's something that's so easy to do, to forget about God's benefits. We only need to look at Hezekiah and his experience in 2 Chronicles 32:25 to see that it can be so easy to forget everything that God has done for us. But here, David is prompting himself to develop what one commentator has called rather sweetly a gratitude attitude. It's just so easy to take things for granted and not stop to think about how much God has done and continues to do for us. There's literally no end to God's provision for each one of us. Some things we know about, other things we're quite oblivious of. Here, in verses 1 to 5, David lists six that he's very much aware of in his own life. The first one is God's forgiveness. He knows that what he continually receives, he hasn't deserved because of his sins. God is crucially a God who forgives. He understands our weaknesses and forgives our failings. David experienced this forgiveness throughout his life, as do we. And in our case, we see it in the light of Jesus' death on the cross for us, the ultimate price paid to rescue us from a future which could be alienated from our Creator God. Secondly, David has also benefited from God's intervention throughout his life in terms of health. He refers to this in many of his psalms. We too can look back and see God's hand at work in our bodies. Sometimes he has clearly intervened. At other times his work has been imperceptible, but effective ultimately. And on yet other occasions, he has allowed us to bear with what our bodies have been touched with in order to increase our dependency on him. Thirdly, on occasions David was in real danger of death, but God saved him from the pit. The Hebrew word used here means preserves him. And in the New Testament era, we understand God's preservation in terms of his redemption. That is, our standing with him and our ultimate hope of eternity with him. The redemption of our body, as Paul puts it in Romans 8:13. So David had experienced God's intervention on many occasions to save him from death and his enemies. Fourthly, we have been recipients of a crown of mercies as a result of God's character, his hesed, that's his covenant love towards us. We have the constant message of his creation speaking to us of his love day by day, as Psalm 19 says. His preventative providence is forever in action for all people, unrecognized by most. For example, when Paul speaks to the Athenians in Acts 17, they have this altar to an unknown God, and Paul says, I'm going to tell you about him. They haven't seen the part that God has played in their lives. And eventually, we will receive a crown of righteousness, those of us that believe in him, which we will wear when our Saviour returns. So we will be crowned with the ultimate mercy. Fifthly, he sees a daily supply of good things, making his life one of satisfaction. Yes, that satisfaction comes from God and his benefits. Then finally, the sixth thing he picks out is the renewal of strength, even into old age. There's rather a strange Hebrew phrase at this point about the eagle, but it seems to mean that as long as we live, God will intervene and keep us strong. Just like the eagle, in fact, who's renowned for his longevity. One eagle kept in captivity in Vienna went on to be 104. Most of us won't make that. But in our older age, we are not to be miserable creatures like billionaire Howard Hughes was, ensconced in a hotel in Las Vegas with unkempt shaggy hair and his weight dropping to 6.5 stone. But nor are we to be grumpy old men as depicted by Matthew Arnold, suffering in the hot prison of agedness, growing old with weary pain, ghosts of our former self. But instead, we are to display a spirit of delightful vigour provided daily by God himself, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Yes, God renews us daily, even in our old age. Well, these six benefits alone caused David to pour out praise to God in his personal testimony in the first two verses. But at this point in verse 6, David steps in just to give us a reminder that God is a God of fairness and justice, and this will be seen by all people when he returns to earth. The next thing that David does in the next verses 7 to 18 is to develop his understanding of God's character, looking backwards and forwards. And we can clearly see in this God's passion for compassion. God, described by David as a father in verse 13, demonstrates the perfect characteristics of a loving parent in charge of a dysfunctional family. David looks back to the time of Moses, some 1,000 years before his own era, to show that God is unchanging. In Moses' day, he was just the same as in David's reign, and ever since up to our day. In fact, the words he speaks to Moses in Exodus 34, verse 6 say, "I am Yahweh, the God of compassion and mercy." God would have been justified to clear the world of human beings as he did in the time of Noah, and indeed he has meted out punishment as necessary in times of sin and disobedience. But unlike us, he's not one for nursing grievances. Because all the time, God has been trying to draw mankind back to himself and to establish a stable and loving two-way relationship. Instead of treating us as we deserved, he has forgiven freely and treated us with tenderness and mercy, verse 10. And he understands our frailty and inconstancy, verse 14. God is not concerned with social distancing, as we are in this pandemic, but here in this psalm we are introduced to the idea of godly distancing in two ways. Firstly, his love is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth, which is another way of saying completely unmeasurable. It extends beyond the universe, not just up to the sky. And secondly, what about our sins? Well, they are removed as far from us as the east is from the west. Verse 12. Well, unlike north and south, we have to ask, where does the east or the west start or finish? Well, it's totally impossible to say. There aren't any poles like the South Pole or the North Pole. It's a continuum, as indeed is God's forgiveness. What an immense statement. We are so different from God in every way. We are disobedient, verse 10, weak, verse 14, changeable, back to verse 10, fleeting, verses 15 and 16, whilst he is the opposite in every respect. And he shows his loving kindness to generation after generation of his followers, verses 17 to 18, in spite of many, many continuing failures. So David depicts for us God's passion for compassion. And he finishes his psalm of praise with a glimpse of the throne room of God, verses 19 to 21. Beyond the universe that we can see or even imagine, God is reigning as king, surrounded by his hosts, heavenly armies of angels, and of course now with Jesus seated at his right hand. What the angels contribute could be described as the toasts of God's hosts. Toasts in the way meaning lifting up his name and praising him. Do you sometimes try to picture what these armies look like? These armies of angels. Is it a bit like the Russian troops marching through Moscow's Red Square on Victory Day? Or is it more like the angelic choir at Jesus' birth with probably musical instruments and illuminated clouds? How many are there exactly in a host? Do these angels have wings or not? Do they look like humans or don't they? Are they a mixture of colour, size and shape? Well, we don't know yet. Whatever they look like, whatever they sound like, David sees them as intimately caught up in God's work, putting his instructions into operation. David encourages them also to join in the praise that he has initiated in verse 1. So now we have David plus his musicians, the great choirs of Israel, together with all those receiving God's benefits, and now the totality of the angel throngs. Is that all, praising God? No, not yet, because he now invites the whole of God's creation to join in, verse 21. That means plants, animals, seas, mountains, birds, insects, planets, stars, probably black holes too. Literally everything that God has created in the universe is encouraged to join in. And just to finish off, David returns to his own role, verse 22. He has inaugurated this song of praise, and now he is ensuring that he figures on the cast list and doesn't miss out. So just to recap, David starts off by encouraging himself to praise the Lord. Why? Well, because he's holy and because he's totally worthy of David's praise. He reminds himself to remember all that God does for him every day and to develop a gratitude attitude for his forgiveness, his healing, his redemption, his crowning mercies, his provision of good things that satisfy, and his daily renewal. He then looks back in history at God's loving kindness and compassion towards his people, stressing the immensity of his forgiveness and love, his passion for compassion. He focuses on the qualities of a father and the promise of his blessing on future generations. He then turns to imagine the scene in heaven with the angels joining in God's praise, the toasts of the hosts, together with all that God has created, and finally back to himself, giving his all in praise too. What an inspirational psalm. No wonder that Campbell Morgan called this the most perfect song of pure praise to be found in the Bible. So, now let's all of us join together in singing Song 2231 in Songs of Fellowship, Bless the Lord, O My Soul, otherwise known as 10,000 Reasons. And we can start counting now.
Like never before.
Let's close with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen. And as we end, there's one more song on the recording for you to listen to if you so wish. It's a version of Psalm 103, composed and sung by Stuart Townend and his band. And it's called My Soul Will Sing. And may God bless you all.
Just take the fire, all will turn to him.